Welcome to Data Transfer, Season 2, Episode 18. I'm Audrey.
I'm Corla.
We're a week late because there were technical difficulties in the last recording. That's two in a row for the people keeping track at home. We're on a real hot streak right now.
We're sharing the guilt, though.
Yes.
You had one, I had one. It's a wash.
Who's going to do it this time, you think?
Gigi. Somehow. I don't know.
Somehow.
We'll bring her back on.
Yeah, of course.
I like having Gigi on.
Yeah, she's funny. Corla, how are you this day?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I actually had a bit prepared for this. And by bit, I mean I'm going to read from Wikipedia.
Okay.
A major depressive episode, MDE, is a period characterized by symptoms of major depressive disorder. Those affected primarily exhibit a depressive mood for at least 2 weeks or more, and a loss of interest or pleasure in everyday activities. Other symptoms can include feelings of emptiness, hopelessness, anxiety, worthlessness, guilt, irritability, changes in appetite, difficulties in concentration, difficulties remembering details, difficulties making decisions, and thought. Insomnia or hypersomnia and aches, pains, or digestive problems that are resistant to treatment may also be present.
Damn. That sucks.
It's just been me the last couple of weeks. I've just been trying to sleep through every day as much as I can.
It's a great season for it. Winter is great for that.
Winter is the sad time.
Yeah, it's great for making you feel awful. I think the most depressed that I've ever been in my life, or at least one of the times that I remember being the most acutely depressed, it was actually like the first beautiful day of spring that year, and I had been really depressed the entire winter, and I had convinced myself that once the sun came back and it was warm outside, that I would feel better. And I was walking to class, and I had my headphones on, and I was just wearing, you know, t-shirt and jeans, and I did not feel any better. And that was when I felt the most hopeless, actually.
Yeah.
It's rough out there. Depression's an absolute motherfucker.
Yeah. But, yeah, I can't even say I've been doing much. I haven't been playing more than like an hour of anything a day. I've been watching an anime, Shangri-La Frontier.
Nice.
That's a fun little show. It's made by people who clearly have a long history of not only playing, but probably trying to create video games, and in particular, MMOs.
Mm.
It regularly showcases glitches as like a key point in the animation. That's the main character is stuck in like a Dark Souls speedrun build. He's got like a debuff, so he can't put on fucking anything on his legs or chest. So he's just running around in shorts.
Yeah.
And a bird mask.
Does he have a great club?
No, he has dual knives. He pumps all of his stats into attack, speed, and luck. Mainly luck. He's like, I'm gonna do a crit build. It's a fun little thing.
It sounds fun.
And there's a four-parter bit at the end of the first season wherein they tackle a world boss as like a party of three.
Whoa.
And it's like, I don't know if you've played any MMOs with world bosses, with super bosses in them. If anyone is familiar with Absolute Virtue from Final Fantasy XI and the multiple days it took to take it down the first time, only for the devs to say, didn't do it right, and fix it so you can't do it that way again. Fucking, it's insane. The kind of shit that they'll do for MMO super bosses, and the show manages to actually like showcase that well, and it's a ton of fun. It's also just very cute and funny, and there's this gal with a crush, but she's also like an OP character. She has an OP character in the game. She's been playing for a while, so every time she shows up, her crush is just like, oh fuck, the strongest person in the game, I'm gonna die. And meanwhile, she's just like, Would you go on a date with me? Aww. Oh, woo. I want to show you through the starting areas.
It's good. Well, that sounds like a blast.
Delightful show. What about you, Audrey? Please tell me you don't have a Wikipedia article lined up.
I could do one.
No, I meant that in the form of I hope you're doing okay.
I'm mostly okay, but here's one that is potentially applicable here. Hypomania, literally under mania or less than mania, is a psychiatric behavioral syndrome characterized essentially by an apparently non-contextual elevation of mood, i.e. euphoria, that contributes to persistently disinhibited behavior. The individual with the condition may experience irritability, not necessarily less severe than full mania. In fact, the presence of marked irritability is a documented feature of hypomania and mixed episodes in bipolar II. According to DSM-5 criteria, hypomania is distinct from mania, and there is no significant functional impairment. Mania, by DSM-5, does include significant functional impairment and may have psychotic features.
A chair is a piece of furniture with a raised surface supported by legs commonly used to seat a single person. Chairs are supported most often by four legs and have a back. However, a chair can have three legs or can have a different shape. Chairs are made of a variety of materials ranging from wood to metal to synthetic material, like e.g. plastic. And they may be padded or upholstered in various colors and fabrics, either just on the seat, as with some dining room chairs, or the entire chair. Chairs are used in a number of rooms and homes, living rooms, dining rooms, and dens, in schools and offices, with desks, and in various other workplaces, such as a Black Mesa facility. Thank you, darling.
And you may notice it's the hypomania article and not the mania article, because I have been, I figured out how to purposefully induce levels of hypomania lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just caffeine.
That if does I... explain why you get so mad at me so fast.
Well, yeah.
I've legit been feeling like I've just been doing everything wrong lately.
I annoy
the shit out of people.
I think probably that is the depression interacting with the hypomania, because I have not experienced like anger at you. I haven't been mad at you lately. But yeah, I just like drink way too many energy drinks in a day, and yeah, I've been gearing up for this event at work where we're going to have a trade appreciation event where our trade clients are going to get to come in and schmooze and have charcuterie and see the new collections for the season.
Oh, you better chow down as much as you possibly can.
Oh, yeah. Historically, these events have not popped off. I have definitely put about, I would say, 1200% more effort into this one than I have the previous ones.
Ah.
So hopefully we'll get a little something, and that'll be a little feather in my cap for review time.
I legit thought you were going to say 1200 pieces of cheese and meat in me over the course of company parties, and I was like, that's praxis. I love you.
There was actually, they get this salami for charcuterie boards. Like every event I've ever been to at our workplace, whoever plans it always gets this stuff. It's from a company called Columbus Meat Company. And it's this very thin sliced, heavily peppered salami.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a package of it in the fridge at work after an event. And I thought, well, surely this, we're after the event. It's not like this is going to keep to the next one. So I ate the entire pack of fucking peppered salami over the course of a day at work. And then some, and then I hear over the walkie, who ate all the salami? We needed that for this thing that we're going to do. And I didn't say a damn word. I did not cop to eating that salami.
Also, meat and fuck company. That's all I wanted to add.
Yeah. Meat and fuck office. Meat and fuck cold storage room.
Meat and fuck high school reunion.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been to one of those because I never actually graduated high school, so they don't invite me to those.
Meet and fuck Mars Colony.
That'd be fun. It's important to fuck on the Mars Colony.
Yeah, you get that red sand fucking everywhere. That's awful, actually.
That's funny.
But that's how we're doing.
Yeah.
Shit is rough right now, and I'm sorry I couldn't be more entertaining for the opening.
No, it's okay. It's okay. This is a redo, so we're not going to have, you know what I mean? It feels like we're not here to do a thing that we haven't done before, you know? So the energy is a little different.
Remix.
Remix! You want to talk about Digimon?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still on the Hypomania page, and I almost started reading it because I am looking at a different wiki for this purpose. Okay.
This is the data transfer fucking disco WARP fucking radio edit. Dude, let me take care of the beat. Fucking, ah, God. I was reminded of Sexy Vampire, and it's just, it's taken over my life again. I'm so sorry.
Penguin,
okay,
no.
Actually do the episode.
Penguin, why have you done this? This is the 18th episode of the second season, entitled Run Yele Run, or the Japanese version that we watched, Follow the Kaiser's Base.
This world is not meant for you.
I was going to say, Run Yele Run, this world is not meant for you. The Digidestined, both old and new, search all around the digital world for the Digimon Emperor's secret base. Cody and Izzy are the first to discover a plethora of control spires and Digimon who are appearing from a strange floating dome.
And they fuck up immediately.
Oh yeah, the episode opens on Iori almost eating shit. Like falling down the side of a mountain. Getting aided by...
Yeah, catching the Emperor's attention while he's getting helped by Izzy.
Yeah. A Kuwagamon suddenly attacks, and although Tentomon is helpless because of the control spires, Armadamon digivolves while the others escape. So he turns into Digmon and holds off the Kuwagamon while they escape. Ken catches up with them while they are sliding down a hill, because he's flying on a Airdramon like he likes to do.
Yep.
And Tentomon attempts to digivolve, but it doesn't work. Ken holds up his dark digivice, and it prevents him from digivolving into Kabuterimon.
He's like, teehee, did you forget?
Did you forget?
Ooh.
But as they're sliding down the hill, they kind of like fall through the earth. And at first I thought that was a trap, but no, they land in an underground chamber dug out by Digmon, who has rescued them. He tunnels a fair distance away, and Tentomon digivolves into Kabuterimon, and they all fly away on Kabuterimon.
Yeah, and the Emperor's like, this was all part of my plan. I wanted to see Kabuterimon's ass as he flies away. I wanted to look at them juicy bug thighs.
Yeah, apparently in the English dub, he says something about how he wants to add that Digimon to his collection.
Yeah. Yeah, the horniness is not subtext.
Everyone returns to the real world, and Iori explains what they saw. Izzy quickly draws up a map of the spires, and it's clear that a path has been formed where the spires are appearing. There's some kind of, like, there's a method to Ken's madness. It's not just, like, conquer everything. It's, like, a specific shape he's trying to produce.
Yeah, he's making an alchemy circle around the entire country.
It's possible.
So that he can usurp God, or however that anime went. I gotta rewatch Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Shit rules.
They decide that the best thing to do would be to destroy the base, obviously. Therefore, leave his inventions useless. They agree that they'll have to stay in the digital world until the base is destroyed, and they have to find a way around the obvious problem of what to tell their parents, because they're gonna go do an overnight trip in the digital world. And we know that time moves slower in the digital world, so they can get a couple days in there before the parents notice them. A couple digi days.
Yeah. which is, I guess the digital world is kind of synchronized right now with
in that,
like, real time.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of dropped that a little bit.
Otherwise, the gates wouldn't be, like, easily opened at any given time. The whole thing was that, like, that's only when the worlds are aligned that you can do that.
Oh,
in season one, as you recall, the whole Myotismon thing, they are stuck until they actually deal with it, and a fucking thing rips open in the sky.
They have to get the tarot cards to set in the control panel.
Yeah, to even get back out of the digital world. Yeah.
Yeah. But now they can just be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and leave the digital world.
Isn't that the, what's the fucking, there's like a weird soft jazz
it's like,
for the actual entering.
It does like, it is the, or no. No, you're right. What is that music? Let's cut it in here. I'll find it and clip it, and we can play a little bit of that music for them entering the digital world. So they got this obvious problem. What are we going to tell our folks to let us, you know, stay in this dangerous, horrifying place that they're not allowed to know about for a long time? And the older Digidestin feel useless because their partners can't digivolve. So Ty's like, hey, what if we go camping and tell your folks that you're with us? And that way we can be away for a couple days. And you won't, folks will be none the wiser. So he explains it by telling their parents they're going camping and be a good excuse not to be home for a few days. The older kids can cover up for the younger children if their parents call. Izzy tells his mom that they are thinking about going camping. And Matt convinces his dad to be the chaperone because Matt's dad is cool. He knows what's up.
And worn the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, he's beat to death, but he's like... Okay, yeah, all right, I'm going camping.
Yeah, vacation sounds great, actually.
Yeah. And we need a computer. You need a computer, he says to TK when they're having dinner. So while Daisuke is packing for their quote-unquote camping trip, his sister Jun quickly becomes interested when she finds out that Matt is going and wants to accompany them. And he, like, shoves her out of his room. He's like, get the fuck out.
Don't care. I don't give a shit what you're asking. Go away.
So Daisuke notices a news report on the TV about Ken as he's pushing her out, and the fact that he's still missing. So he's like watching the TV, and you get the sense that he's like, I'm gonna beat this dude's ass. He's like watching the TV like, I'm gonna kick that child's face in. And at the same time, Yole is actually watching the same coverage with her folks. Like, she sees it on the news, too. And there's, like, a sense of melancholy with her that I got in that moment. But she is quite concerned that they will have to stay in the digital world for a long time. And it says here, but quickly becomes excited and inspired. What they're missing is the fact that she has, like, an intense fear of failure and is, like, afraid she's gonna drag the group down, so she has to, like, really put on the energy to be like, okay, I'm gonna do it, it's gonna be great.
Oh man, I have absolutely been this, done this.
Oh yeah,
I relate far too heavily.
That's what I'm doing with the event at work. Like, the last, you know, large number of these events didn't really pop off, so I'm for 2025 I'm really trying to put my whole pussy in it.
It's the whole thing. First of all, it doesn't extend very far from your body. You have to, like, give that shit a pump for a while first before it's extending at all. And then, like, we have, Audrey, you and me, we have some large thighs. Yeah. You're gonna have to do, like, a real wide squat to get your pussy in anyway. That's so much prep, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Dip it in there like balls and ketchup. Thousand Island dressing.
I'm gonna dip my balls into some Thousand Island dressing because I got depression. So
I should do a speedcore version of that.
That'd be cool. I mix it with fast shit because it's 90 BPM, that track.
Yeah,
so you mix it with something at 180, it sounds fucking sick. But anyway, just as Matt, Ty, and Izzy are about to leave with Matt's dad for the camping trip, June shows up and she's like, "Hey, Matt, hey! Hey, you're going to leave without me? What's going on? Can I go on the camping trip too?"
I'm fully equipped for it.
Yeah,
I dressed as if you were taking me.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I got all my little camping shit in my backpack. Let's fucking go. And Izzy's like, "Get rid of her." Like, go get
Izzy her. And Ty both just like, "Get the fuck rid of her."
They're like, "Get rid of her right now." And so he goes out and he tells her that he, in the English dub, in the synopsis, he tells her he has a present for her in the car. And while she's closing her eyes on his orders, he returns to the vehicle and quickly drives away. In the Japanese, just goes, "Okay, can you do something for me?" And she's like, "What?" And he's like, "Turn around, close your eyes, and count to 10. She's like, "Each ni san," and he's like, goes back, jumps in the car, and he's like, "Gun it, Dad!"
He's like, "Don't ask questions, just go!
Just go, 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 go." And she's like, you know, bummed when she sees him driving away.
It's so funny, but so mean.
It's incredibly mean. But you can't let her in on the Digimon thing, because if she...
And also...
She'll go also, back to the really folks and be like, and they weren't on the camping trip. Daisuke and the other ones were not on the camping trip.
Yeah, good point. She could be a fucking snitch. They don't know.
Yeah.
Although, we have covered this. Every Digidestined's parent knows about this part of their life. Or at least that it was a part of their life at one point. Except for the new kids. But, like fucking... We saw them at the end of the Myotismon arc wish their kids, like, a safe trip back when they go back in to save it after the Spiral Mountain whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Four Dark Emperors.
Look like we watching Digimon.
Babe, this is obviously a child-friendly podcast. You can't be saying things like that. You can't reference Three Big Balls.
By Dick Barr? Of course I can.
Our family-friendly podcast where we talk about dipping our pussies and things.
And, viscerally describe pornography. So they quickly drive away. And then back in the digital world, the children soon discover that the Emperor's base is not where it was the day before. They like climb that mountain and go like back to where it was. And it's like not fucking there. And they are all quite baffled. But an eager Yole climbs a control spire and claims that the base flew away into the sky. She is so hypomanic.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's rough to watch.
Yeah. She lashes out at Tentomon because he should have been guarding the area. She's like, "What the fuck? You should have been here to see it go away. You should know where it is." And she then climbs down the side of the cliff where the base was nestled. Because she's like, "Maybe there's clues down here. I'm going to go look." And Hakmon's like, "Can you fucking be careful?" And he's also, like, apologizing to the rest of everybody for her. He's like, "Listen, she's freaking out. I'm sorry. I don't know what's up."
It's so rough to watch.
Yeah. So she climbs down this cliff and finds a Dokugumon at the bottom who, like, instantly attacks her because he has a control spiral.
We've seen him before, but you haven't described him with two words before, so give it. Gimme.
Oh... Queen Goma.
Yeah, there you go. Gotta hit it in the big eyeball weak spot.
Yeah, it looks like the first boss from Ocarina, kind of. Big spider creature with like a nearly, like a human-ish face. I almost said Jirai Goma, which is a Yu-Gi-Oh. One.
That's a Yu-Gi-Oh. Good call, though. I like that.
Yeah. So Hakmon saves her just in time, but gets injured. Like she's like climbing down the side of the cliff and he like takes a shot for her, like gets hit. and it sucks.
2 weeks from Digi retirement.
Vimon digivolves into Flamedramon to fight off the Dokugumon, destroys the dark spiral on his arm. And then a guilt-ridden Yole starts bawling and decides to stay behind and protect the injured Hawkmon. She feels so guilty for getting Hawkmon hurt. She's like, I have to stay with him. This is bullshit. This is so awful. Here's a still of Hawkmon getting hit by the attack.
Kind of just looks like he's being farted on while desperately running from it.
No, no, I got farted on. Oh, here's another cute one. I'm going to just
No, I have a sensitive bird nose, please.
I'm going to send you a couple pictures here.
That's so tiny.
It's so tiny. I didn't know. I thought it would like blow up.
It's so tiny. There we go. Yeah.
It's Matt and Ty, or it's Ty and Izzy sitting in the car laughing while Matt has to go deal with June.
It's, oh man, that whole segment makes me feel bad.
They're cheesing so hard.
It's just like he promised her a hangout, a date.
Yeah, did promise the date.
He keeps reneging.
But it didn't, you know. A date
just
is not necessarily a camping
trip. Just tell her
you're
not interested, dude.
Yeah. Tell her you're only into guys.
Just say, listen, this camping trip is so I can mac on Ty. Do not get between me and that.
Yeah, for real.
You don't want to know what happens to people that get between me and man smooches.
Kari decides that she's going to stay with Yole as well. And while the boys continue searching for the base. While they're out, Iori notices like a giant shape moving in the sky behind him and goes like, oh, I guess it must have been the wind. You know what I mean? Like, you know, basically almost sees the base, but like barely misses it.
Mobile base, yeah.
But we know that it's mobile.
FF8 garden that he's riding.
Yeah. I love it when you get to drive Balam around. It's fun. So eventually Hawkmon does wake up, not before Kari gently admonishes Yole for taking her determination the wrong way. Cause like this whole you gotta be ready for you gotta be ready to stay in the digital world. We got to show some determination. She was like, I'm not determined enough. I need to be more determined. And that's what puts her down this path of freaking out in the first place. And Kari's like, you kind of took that the wrong way. And, she's kind of like, okay. Like tearfully accepts the advice, the admonishment. And then when Hawkmon wakes up, Yole apologizes for being so stubborn and determined to him. Hawkmon reassures her, though, saying that he likes her for the way that she is. Aw. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I didn't know how to fold that in, but I wanted to show you Undertale because you said determination.
By this time, the girls find out that the Emperor's base is a floating fortress because it shows up. It, like, flies into frame above them. And there's a really neat scene where they're all standing silhouetted on this ridge watching the base come in. And Hawkmon's all bandaged up. But the antidote that Gatomon went and got him, Gatomon goes and collects herbs and makes an antidote for the Dokugumon venom. And he's like walking over towards the edge of the ledge and lets the bandage fly off of him. And it like streams away in the night sky. It's pretty cool.
This boy is just a Kamen Rider protagonist who is unfortunately stuck with a child.
Who's stuck with a child in the body of a small bird.
He, like, we had him do the ninja off before.
Yeah.
And now we have him just, like, dramatically letting his bandages flit off into the wind off the side of a cliff. He is a Kamen Rider. That's just what Hawkmon is.
That's what they do.
I need to get Ruby on here so I can, like, get corroborating, like, evidence on this.
Inside the base, Ken has almost made the finishing touches on his newest project. We see a silhouette of a Digimon made of a bunch of different Digimon.
Yeah, I wonder what that could be called. Guess we'll find out.
Probably next episode, if I had to guess.
Probably next episode. God, I hope so. I love this guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
I was the kid who was just like, I want a ship with a billion swords and guns on it. And it looks like the Ragnarok from Final Fantasy VIII. And it's impenetrable. And even if it wasn't impenetrable, it has an AT field. And, and that's what Ken is doing here. He's making his own fucking OC Digimon.
Exactly. Why don't you rate this on a scale of rookie to mega?
Champion.
Yeah.
I think we said champion last time. It still holds for me, personally.
Yeah, our little...
It's decent. We like an emotional arc. But Jun being treated so poorly really brings it down for me. It make me sad.
It's gotta be a champion. The fight scenes are short and not very exciting or compelling.
No beams!
No beams. Flamedramon does do the flame dive thing, which is a little sick. But
That's a combo. That's not really a beam.
It's not truly a beam.
It's not truly a beam. There's no cum.
So yeah, we give it a champion. Why don't you do this one now?
Pussy 2.
Porno.
Porno. Porno.
All right, I porno. Couldn't think of a theme porno. At first, but then I decided to search Factorio on EC21, and I was delighted by the results. Audrey heard me fucking giggling before the recording, and I saw her face just full of fear and apprehension, and it should have been, because you're going to have to describe this now.
Okay, so what we have here is, like, a fish lady. She's green, and she has, like, stripies on her thighs and tummy and head and tail. And when I say fish lady, I mean, like, a humanoid with big tits and the head of a fish and a fish tail coming out of what appears to be her butt. And she's nude, and she's sitting by the edge of a pool, kind of lounging back. It would be really nice to have a tail that you could balance on.
Yeah, I think about this a lot.
Yeah,
I think about tail for counterbalance a lot, because as my weight has redistributed under estrogen, I've found myself quite clumsy and wobbly at times.
Oh. And Corla has very fortuitously and nicely sent me a picture of a fish icon from Factorio, which is the basis for this fish lady.
The raw
and she
fish.
Has her pussy out, I should mention.
She has her pussy out. I want to point out that her head is just... Her head is the fish. It's the fish icon, minus the tail.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
It's not a humanoid face, and it's not even really like an anthropomorphized face. It's just a fish stuck on the top of a neck.
Pretty funny.
I can't get enough. It's so fucking funny. It almost makes me feel bad that I made you describe that one, because now I don't get to make you describe this one. Unless you want to take it for
I'll
me?
I'll take it, yeah.
Okay. Here we fucking go.
You started an activity. That's,
I didn't mean to do that. I'm not even sure how that happened.
That's funny. All right. So, let's start with the assembly line. There's like a conveyor belt going from the left side of the bottom of the screen to the right. There are some foxes. Are there like furries in Factorio? This is probably just
No, art. These are like OCs.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
And they're playing on the conveyor belt. The ones playing with the switches for the conveyor belt looks like. And then there's like an industrial machine up to the top right with some pipes leading up out of frame and to the right out of frame. And it's like a big cistern in the center with some pipes coming off of that. And then there's a big glass dome, which is situated over the penis of a giant purple creature with boobs.
It's a Pokemon, Goodra.
Oh, it's a Goodra. It's a Pokemon.
Dragon poison type.
So you know a Goodra, right? I didn't know Goodra.
I'll get you a reference image for that, too.
Okay, cool.
Boop-a-doop-a-doop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop. Here you go.
Okay, sure.
She's adorable.
This is a very chubby Goodra.
Yes, very much so.
With big fat tits. And she's being milked. for the cistern.
And a prolapsed anus. Don't forget that part.
Oh, yeah, and her butthole's falling out. She's like green earrings. Oh, no, those are just like spots like on the original Pokemon.
Like, oh, my neck. God.
Yep, that's what this one is.
If anyone's played Factorio, this is unfortunately very well realized. We have foxes going on a conveyor belt. They're being shoved up a butthole for anal war purposes, turned into cum, and then that cum is being extracted into a storage tank down a pipeline.
Oh, I didn't get that part. So the, like, oh, that's an arm moving the...
That's an inserter, yes.
An inserter, specifically. Preparing to insert the poor fox creature into the Gudra's butthole to be turned into cum.
Yes. Hence why she's so big.
Woo!
I took a look at the rest of this artist's stuff, and it is all foxes being fed into fat Pokemon buttholes.
Okay.
That's what goes on in here.
That is their artistic milieu.
That is their preference.
Hey, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, make a wish.
And it's... I wish that I don't get put in a butthole and turned into gum.
I would prefer that as well.
I love this image. It's incredibly cursed and insanely well realized. This person plays a lot of Factorio and is horny about it.
Total pervert. is there any more?
No, that was it. Okay. There's actually not a lot of actual, like, pornographic Factorio stuff on there, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. It's like a base building automation game.
There is, like, someone's cute spider sona as an engineer in Factorio, and I like that, but it's not porn.
Instead of Spidertrons, do their mechs have two legs?
Because if you're a two-legged creature that makes Spidertrons. I imagine that's not very stable.
What if it has 16 legs?
Oh, okay. What if it has, let's say, 64 legs?
Oh.
What if we multiply?
8 legs for each leg.
What if it's squared?
Well, it would have to be 4 legs for each leg.
What? Why?
Because we have 2, and Spidertrons have 8. So it'd be 4 legs for each human leg.
That's a good point. So it would be 32 instead.
Yeah.
Okay. 32 legs. I needed the theme to be Factorio this time, and it turns out there was enough for one episode.
Nice.
Good job, me.
Hey, Corla, name your digital champion.
Anal for Gudra.
Of course.
No, it's Jun for shooting her shot. Like, yeah, she may be a little pushy about it, but Matt seems really hard to get a hold of for just a regular fucking conversation.
Fair enough. You got a monster?
No, it's a seltzer, Audrey. I've been burping and editing them out this whole time.
It looked like a monster. I want a monster. I'm going to go to the store and get another monster.
Okay, give me one.
Okay.
Hold on to it till March.
It won't be good by then. It'll be all flat and weird.
Besides, I don't want monsters. I want tiny V8s.
Tiny V8s and pickles. Why don't we try, let's make breakfast one morning while you're here and have like bacon and eggs and toast, and we'll have Bloody Marys with breakfast.
Yes, that's amazing.
That'll be fun.
I'm brunchy, so here for it. Time. We put a little sprig of mint on top, make it all fancy.
Fancy. My watch keeps yelling at me.
Is that your digital champion? Is it your watch that's yelling at you?
Yep.
All right, segment over, I guess. You want to give me your digital champion?
I'm gonna name Matt's dad my digital champion for this, for being a ride or die homie who's willing to help the kids lie to their parents.
Yeah, no, he's Matt's dad and Cody's or Iori's grandpa are like the goats as far as the adults go in the series.
Absolutely, the coolest dudes. the illest
villains. In the English version, Ty's mom for making terrible food.
Onion juice, for example.
Onion juice. Hey, onion banana juice from Avatar? Actually not terrible. You would think that's awful.
Is it like pureed onion be. With banana juice?
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds really horrifying.
Yeah, texturally it's not great, but it tastes okay.
Do you know what I enjoy?
What?
Pineapple orange juice with a little splash, little splash of banana in it.
You know what I like?
What's that?
Pineapple juice and cream of coconut.
Yeah.
With a little bit of rum.
That's called pina colada.
And you shake it all up. You go...
Funny.
You have to shake really fast. I was watching Lilith mix drinks, and I was like, oh, I think I can do that. And then I went to actually shake that fast, and I went, ow, my joints! I didn't prepare myself.
That's funny. Carla, what are your plugs?
Oh!
Discord didn't pick that up, by the way. I didn't hear what you did.
Good, because I'm going to cut it anyway. I'm going to cut until I actually say the thing, because I'm fucking vamping, because my brain's a little... Plugs. Things that I am in, such as... Post Ponies, which is a My Little Pony Friendship is Magic retrospective series with me and three other deranged trans women.
All differently deranged.
Differently deranged. One of us, not very horny at all. The rest of us, really horny in really weird and specific ways. So if you like this, you'll like that. You can find it anywhere you're listening to podcasts, as well as smallgayhorse.com.
Best URL.
What about you, Audrey? Also, I have a blue sky. I'm somewhat active now. It's just Corla. Find me there.
At Corla. My other podcast is called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. You can find it at rftb.me or anywhere you find your podcasts. It's a fun, goofy time, but it's also good relationship advice. We were joined this week by cartoonist Max Graves. Does a comic called I think it's What Happens Next, I think is the name of the series. I may have that wrong. Forgive me, Max, if you're hearing this. Really fun talk. we admonish an ally for not being a very good ally.
Yeah,
and it's great.
I heard that part. I got to listen to the edit.
Yeah. I also want to plug, I just went on the homie Brad Pearson's Patreon series for his Patreon for Self-Worst, where we talked about, in his words, sad bastard music. and I brought the album Untrue by Burial, and we had much to say about that and electronic music and emotion and the way music hits you at different times in your life. So it was a great, great talk. Good talk. Go check out the Patreon. Corla, edit in yourself saying the name of the URL. I have to find it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Thanks, babe. And that's it. That's it for data transfer for this week. Toby Fox did the music. It's called Dating Start. And I think it's important this week that you get out there and buy the products.